WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 50 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy to cloudy here today with a high of 66 and showers and thunderstorms redeveloping tonight. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, an unannounced visit by three canine teams at the Red Oak High School Thursday resulted in a temporary lockdown of the school, but no illegal substances were found. The teams searched the school building and parking lot. According to Red Oak Superintendent Terry Schmidt, there was no advance notice to parents or students the searches would be conducted. It wasn't until the canine teams showed up that notices were sent to parents about the lockdown to ease any fears they may have had by their children texting him about the occasion. News time is 8:01.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A man has been severely burned in an explosion that set his house on fire in Council Bluffs. The fire trucks were sent to the home after the blaze rocked the neighborhood at around 8 p.m. Thursday. Neighbors had reported seeing a burned man run down the street with his clothes torn off seeking help. He was taken in critical condition to a hospital. Another person in the house was reported as unharmed. No names have been released, and the cause of the explosion was under investigation. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers plans to release another report examining last year's flooding along the Missouri River. The Corps will release a report today looking at how much free space it would have needed in reservoirs along the river to handle last year's deluge of water. The report will also look at how other uses of the river, such as navigation and recreation, would have been affected by storing that much flood water. A report from outside experts released in December said the Corps did the best it could to deal with last year's record flooding. Officials have said nearly all the 16.3 million acre feet of the planned storage space for floodwater is available in the reservoirs along the Missouri River thanks to the recent dry and warm weather. A retired educator from Creston, John Rose, has announced that he will run as Democrat for the Iowa House in the new District 21, which includes all of Union and Adams counties and parts of Cass and Pottawatomie counties. Rose said in a press release, "As a teacher and football coach, I spent years in the classroom helping our kids and grandkids become engaged, successful citizens." He went on to say that we also have to guarantee that no child or school in rural Iowa gets left behind. Currently retired, Rose was a secondary social studies teacher and assistant football coach at the Creston High School for 28 years and also worked at the Adair Casey High School in Adair. He served as a substitute teacher in Creston and also authored a football coaching book. John Rose was born and raised in Spencer and graduated from the Spencer High School. He received his bachelor's and master's degree from Mankato State University in Minnesota. His wife Lois is a retired English and speech teacher. The couple has two adult children and three grandchildren. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City funeral has been scheduled for an Iowa National Guard member who drowned at a beach along Puerto Rico's north coast. The service is scheduled to begin at 11 a.m. Monday at Grace United Methodist Church for Technical Sergeant Corey Mildenstein. Interment will be at the Cushing Cemetery in Cushing. Authorities say Mildenstein of Sioux City drowned at a surfer beach in Aguadilla on April the 4th. Mildenstein was on a two-week Air National Guard mission to rebuild an airport runway near the beach. He was the father of three children. A federal jury in Sioux City has awarded a Nebraska woman $870,000 for sexual harassment and retaliation by her former employer. The jury on Wednesday found that Mindy Gilster of Emerson, Nebraska, was harassed by her supervisor, Joseph Strube, and was subject to retaliation for filing complaints and lawsuits against Strube and Prime Bank Incorporated. Gilster, who worked at a bank branch in Sioux City, sued in 2010, claiming Strube had been harassing her in 2008. After she complained, Strube was reprimanded but remained her supervisor. After further complaints, she was given a poor job review and denied a raise before she was fired in 2011. The jury awarded Gilster $600,000 in punitive damages, $240,000 for emotional distress, and $30,000 in back pay and medical expenses. A South Sioux City man accused of killing his girlfriend will undergo a mental evaluation. John Baker is charged with a second-degree murder and the death of Kelly Alsbach in 2011. Her body was found stuffed in a window seat in their home on October 21st. Baker was arrested 3 days later in North Dakota. Baker's attorney, Jeffrey Pickens, said in court documents filed Wednesday in Dakota County District Court that Baker said certain things during the April 5th meeting that caused him to question Baker's competency. Pickens asked the court to continue an April 19th hearing until after a mental evaluation. A judge granted the continuance and reset the hearing for May 18th. No trial date has been set. An examination of human remains discovered in southeastern Iowa last month has determined they were that of a young woman who likely died last year. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation announced Thursday that an anthropologist's report found the bones were those of a female between the ages of 24 and 32. DCI Special Agent Jeff Ohlmeyer said the estimated age and height matches the profile of Jackie Lee Douthart of Mount Pleasant, who had been missing since May. But it's too soon to know whether the remains are hers. He said the state crime lab will try to develop a DNA profile that could be checked against the profiles of Douthart and other missing persons to try and make an identification. Investigators are still trying to determine the cause of death. Authorities in eastern Iowa say a 77-year-old Jackson County man has died after a tractor flipped and pinned him underneath. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office and deputies responded to the call in rural Spragueville a little before 4 p.m. on Thursday. Deputies say Richard Ganser was trying to move a fallen tree when his tractor flipped over. They say the accident was discovered by the man's wife. Key Republican and Democratic lawmakers are offering starkly differing views on efforts to write a new state budget and end this year's legislative session. Meeting with reporters Thursday, Republican House Speaker Craig Paulson argued that legislative bargainers in the governor's office are narrowing their differences about the size of the state's budget. He expressed optimism about ending this year's session next week. House Democratic leader Kevin McCarthy said he doesn't share Paulson's optimism, and he notes that Republicans intend to debate volatile social issues such as abortion, and that could delay efforts to write a state budget. Speaking of the abortion issue, there was a short but fierce shouting match at the Iowa Senate Thursday afternoon over the abortion policy. Republican Senator David Johnson of Ochedon sought to forbid any state money from being used to pay for abortions for women who are the victims of rape or incest or whose lives are endangered by the pregnancy and who qualify for government-paid Medicaid.
Poll after poll has shown that the American people are opposed to the use of tax dollars to fund abortions.
Senator Jack Hatch, a Democrat from Des Moines, called that an extreme position that is at odds with federal policy.
Are you willing to take over $1.5 billion of federal dollars away from the health and safety of every woman, every child, every family involved in Medicaid throughout the state?
Senate Democrats then voted down the proposed abortion restrictions on a 25-22 vote. Republicans next tried to ensure that no state tax dollars go to Planned Parenthood for family planning services. Senator Joel Bolcom of Iowa City was the only Democrat to speak against the proposal.
It's time to trust women to make their own choices about their health care providers. It's time to stop the Republican war on women.
Senator Dave Johnson of Ochedon was the only Republican senator to speak in favor of the proposal.
There's no war. You know, that's become a campaign slogan now that's been used repeatedly, and it has no place here in the Iowa Senate.
The verbal skirmish over abortion in the Senate lasted 16 minutes. It happened during a Senate consideration of a larger bill that outlines spending for the Iowa Department of Human Services. The same issues are likely to be debated when the House considers the bill, one of the must-do bills of the 2012 session. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the small New Hampshire town of Greenland is mourning the loss of its police chief today, who was shot and killed during a drug bust. Chief Michael Maloney was less than 2 weeks away from retirement. This morning, authorities have found the body of his suspected killer inside the home that was being raided, along with the body of a female acquaintance. The Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma, says a dangerous tornado outbreak is likely tomorrow in parts of Kansas and Oklahoma as intense storms move into the southern plains. The severe storms are expected to strike during the afternoon and evening. Forecasters warn that baseball-sized hail could pummel some isolated areas, and winds of up to 70 miles per hour are possible. The Storm Prediction Center, part of the National Weather Service, said it could be a high-end, life-threatening event. And the Dow is starting the day within reach of the 13,000 mark again after its biggest jump in a month. The index climbed 1.4% yesterday to close at 12,986. On Wednesday, the market had snapped out of a five-day slump, its longest and deepest of the year. After the market closed yesterday, Google reported earnings that were ahead of analysts' estimates. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next. News time is 8:10.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Stanley Soren Hansen, age 89 of Harlan, died Tuesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Stanley Hansen will be held today at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Harlan, with Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan in charge of arrangements. Charles Larson, age 66 of Kimbleton, died Monday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Charles Larson will be this morning at 10:30 at the Bethany Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Richard C. Peterson, age 81 of Elkhorn and formerly of Avoca, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Richard Peterson will be today at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Hazel Watts, age 74 of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Hazel Watts will be this morning at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Beverly Olson, age 87 of Manila, died Wednesday at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Beverly Olson will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Odie Funeral Home in Manila. Felicia K. Winkleblack, age 34 of Guthrie Center, died April 7th at her home. Funeral services for Felicia K. Winkleblack will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Church of Christ in Bagley. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center is in charge of the arrangements. Edith Marie Haynes, age 85 of Oakland, died April 6th at the Oakland Manor. Memorial services for Edith Haynes will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reagan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland is in charge of the arrangements. Lewis McCall, age 96 of Bridgewater, died March the 28th at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. A memorial luncheon for Lewis McCall will be held Saturday at noon at the Bridgewater United Methodist Church. The Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle is in charge of arrangements. Betty Barnes, age 79 of Griswold, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Betty Barnes will be held Saturday at 1:30 at the Faith Lutheran Church in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Clifford Huff, age 78 of Messina, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Clifford Huff will be held Monday at 2 o'clock at the Greenfield Gospel Chapel with the Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle in charge of the arrangements. Mark Conrad, age 56 of Harlan, died April 5th at his home. Graveside services for Mark Conrad will be held next Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Harlan Cemetery. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Eldred E.J. Conrad, age 92 of Harlan, died February 20th in Elkhorn. Graveside services and burial for E.J. Conrad will be held on April 20th at 11 a.m. in the Harlan Cemetery, with the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan in charge of arrangements. Our news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.